Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Yeah! Talking about expressvpn.com/Nooners. Love ExpressVPN. You've got to have a VPN in today's world or you're not living your life right, brother. People are going to start stealing your passwords, all your bank info, everything. And I know most of you are probably thinking, why don't you just use incognito mode? Let me tell you something. Incognito mode doesn't hide your activity. Doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited. That's why when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. Huge fan. I've had it for years. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all of your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. It runs seamlessly in the background of all my computers and my laptops and my phones, and it's super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, like I was saying, phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there's no excuse for you not to be using it right now. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Mashable. Visit my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/Nooners, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Nooners. expressvpn.com/Nooners. Head there to learn more.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
Welcome, boys and girls, children of all ages. Absolutely joking. If you have a child of any age listening to this, you're a bad parent. Chances are you're an awful person and you should be arrested or institutionalized. But as long as the kiddies aren't listening, welcome to the revolution. We got another big, big show on tap tonight. Why is it big? No idea. I'm here. So that should wet your whistle. That should appease your genes, if you will. We also got a... Got our little sidekick, our little producer friend, podcast extraordinaire, Mrs. Jessie Wiseman.
I'll take that podcast
extraordinaire. The Jables. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you Jables? Yeah. What's cracking, Jabes?
Nothing much, man. Just hungry. How are you?
Yeah. Nah, I'm
hungry,
good.
You know,
that's the dog days of winter. Isn't that what they call it?
To what?
Nah, they don't call it that.
They don't call it that. Just to be hungry.
No, I think they call it the cat days. It's the cat days of winter. You know.
Yeah, I have heard that quite a bit.
Where you're starving, you're cold out in the streets.
Yeah.
your frame is a little frail.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, welcome to the cat days of winter.
Has anyone ever said that to you? He looks a little sick.
No, he looks a little frail.
Gosh, he is really
gaunt.
Yeah.
He looks gaunt.
I pray for someone to say that about me.
Yeah.
Like, be worried about me.
Like that, oh my gosh, there's Jessie. She looks like she has AIDS.
Yeah, like, we're worried about
her. She can't afford the cocktail.
Oh, I would love it.
She can't afford the AIDS cocktail. Boy, and you know what? That's going to be a beautiful segue into these sponsors who pay for this beautiful lovemaking ship to set sail across the ocean sea. First up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com.
One of the faves.
Yeah. God damn it. I love StrikeForce Energy. A lot of people ask me, Ross, how are you so fucking amped up all goddamn day long like this? How do you have so much energy? It's not because I'm 26. I'm a couple summers older. That's about it. But it's because I use StrikeForceEnergy.com. It is the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch full of energy that you rip the pouch. It goes in every single liquid you could possibly imagine. It goes in Kool-Aid. It goes in water. It goes in sodas.
Goes teas, in wine.
Wine, liquors, liqueurs, beers. I love it in fucking Miller Lite. It goes in anything you could possibly imagine, and it'll keep you going past the 5 hours. That 5 hour energy shit tastes like garbage. It tastes like drinking hot fucking garbage that's been sitting in the middle of Baltimore on a 4th of July day. Strikeforce Energy doesn't taste like that. You got to kick the can. That's the slogan, kids. Kick the can. They ship everywhere in the entire world. You get 20% off by entering the promo code REVOLUTION. That's 20% off for using the promo code REVOLUTION. They ship anywhere in the entire world. They have a subscription to the month club, which I have, obviously, and I love. Last but not least, they got a bottle that pumps out 100 squirts of that shit. You can just put it right on your bar. Right on your barkeep.
And we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Big fan of StrikeForceEnergy.com. Next up. Oh, man. I've been waiting to say his name for a long time. Long time. You notice how I said it in a St. James Street James voice?
I did.
Because I've been waiting to say his name for a long time.
Okay.
I'm talking about none other than one of the stars of Helen Keller versus Night Wolves. I'm talking about Van Sant Law. It's time to drop the hammer of justice. Big fan of Van Sant Law. He's arguably the finest personal injury lawyer in the entire United States of America. The guy's the best at what he does. Best in the biz. One of the finest lawyers we have and a fucking upstanding citizen. If you've been in a personal injury or a car accident, if you got a personal injury at work, you're looking for workman's comp, you've been in a car accident, you know, any type of wrongful death, Van Sant Law is the guy you need to call. Call 1-855-GA-INJURY. Yeah, that's 1-855-GA-INJURY. INJURY. Another number that you can throw out there is 404-991-5950. That's 404-991-5950. Look, kids, if you've been hurt on the job, if your boss is treating you like shit, you don't like what's going on in the workplace, you're hurt, you got carpal tunnel, somebody's slapping you around, sexually assaulting you, or you've been in some type of car accident, Van Sant Law, look, him and his personal injury lawyers, they'll take care of you. They'll hook your shit up. And look, just some of a few recent results. They got a $3.25 million case, trip and fall. Boom, $3.25 million. Truck accident, $3 million. medical negligence, $2.5 million. $2.3 million, semi-truck accident. $2.3 million, neck injury. $1.6 million, wrongful death suit. These guys do not fuck around. They are the Johnny Cochran. Van Sant, David Van Sant is the Johnny Cochran of personal injury lawyers. Huge fan. He's worked with my family and some of my friends for years. Love him. 1-855-GA-INJURY. That is the number to call. Figure it the fuck out, kids, and get on the Van Sant law train. Next up. Oh, Billy. You fucking know with absolute certainty how much I love Carnivore Club.
I mean,
CarnivoreClub.com is my fucking jam.
Hell yeah.
Kids, what it is it's a meats in a box of the month club. It's the finest meats delivered to you in a box once a month, right to your doorstep, rain or shine. Or hurricane.
Hurricane or shine.
It made it through Hurricane Matthew to me. Everything in the world shut down in Wilmington, including the grocery stores, by the way. That is no lie. They shut down the fucking grocery stores.
Carnivore Club.
They put the metal, they put those metal.
I don't want to call them
fences. There's barricades over the doors of the grocery store. People are going to start fucking rioting. It's like we live in Wilmington. Nobody's rioting over anything. there was a slam against my door, and what is it? I open up the door. There's a box at Carnivore Club.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and it was delivered on a Saturday by the USPS man, the United States Postal. Yeah. So, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god! I had no power on, no nothing. I'm with my 2-year old son.
But you just opened up that cured meat. And we went to town. Yeah.
What it is, in all honesty, it is the finest cured meats from all over the world. They look for these fucking meats, and then they buy them, and then they put them up in this box, and the box is like super nice, where you're just like, oh shit, like you feel bad like throwing it away. Like,
I've been keeping them.
I know, they're nice. They're nice boxes. And it's spicy breadable pork. They've got salami,
truffle salami.
Oh,
like,
shit, yeah.
All different kinds. Cajun.
Yeah.
They start to, I'm sure, tailor it towards you, but I mean,
the best. It's one of the best. If you don't know what
bacon
to get for a bro or like another dude, you got to go to carnivoreclub.co. That's carnivoreclub.co. They're a co. They're a .co. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION. You get 20% off your first order. Your first order, you get 20% off. Big, big fan. It is a meat of the month club. Next up, we've got arguably my favorite beer in the entire world. I'm talking about Wilmington Brew Company.
What?
Yeah, Wilmington Brew Company.
Love them.
Local fave. Wilmington Brew Company makes I'm just going to say it's the finest beer in the United States. It is. I've literally had beer every single place in the United States. Wilmington Brew Company is my, it's my fucking jam. It's my fucking jam.
Every time we have someone come from wherever in the U.S. or the world, they're like, we take them there.
Yeah, we always take them to Wilmington Brew Company.
Holy shit. Yeah. This is the real deal.
Yeah, Wilmington Brewery is the shit. Look, right now, they're strictly North Carolina based, but that is changing rapidly. They started off with a small store. They got bigger, got a little bigger shop. Now they are on tap at, I want to say 187 restaurants in Wilmington. 80 in Wilmington, 187 in the rest of the state of North Carolina. They're in almost every single restaurant now in North Carolina. Ask for Wilmington, the Wilmington Brew Company. Tell them you want that Wilmington Brewery in your fucking mouth. I recommend Tropical Lightning. Recommend the Raspberry Saison. And the Sneaky Goose is a fucking
fave. You gotta
fave.
Do the Sneaky it's a fave. Goose, dude.
It's a fave. And if you come to Wilmington, North Carolina, stop in, tell them Ross Patterson sent you, and enjoy it, folks. It's as good as it gets. Last but not least, we've got the finest piece of literature ever written in the United States. I'm talking better than the Constitution. I'm talking better than the Bill of Rights. I'm talking better than the Magna Carta. I'm talking about At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Jables, can I get a horse noise? Yeah, there we go.
Yep, best in the biz.
At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, first ever romance novel for dudes, written by the genius, the man among men, Ross Patterson. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Amazon.com, Walmart.com, every .com you can imagine, Barnes & Noble, the whole shit. Funniest book you'll ever read. If you love my films, kids, you'll love the book even more because they let me go wilder, if that's even possible. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Oh, yeah. Huge monster dick-grabbing fan of theirs. Got some sad news to report tonight, kids. The remakes are everywhere. These fucking things are popping up like zombies. Here's what I read today that fucking, it sent me shuddering. I shuddered a little bit. I don't often shudder.
Sure.
But I shuddered after reading this one.
Okay.
White Men Can't Jump.
Oh.
They're remaking White Men Can't Jump with Woody Harrelson and fucking Wesley Snipes.
No, I mean, who are they remaking it with? Or you don't know?
They don't have the actors.
Okay.
They've just announced they are going to remake it. The team behind the TV show Black-ish is going to do it. Wow. But I mean, you made it as good as you could. The movie was fantastic.
Oh my God.
Woody Harrelson, Snipes, great chemistry, fucking awesome movie. It's over now. It's been over for a while.
I don't like when they remake it while the person could still kind of play the same part.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like Woody Harrelson could step back.
Woody Harrelson looks the same. If you put a little chunk of, like a little chunk of grass, like a divot, like let's say you're not that good of a golfer and you got a big hearty swing and you hit a divot, you know, sure. You didn't replace it. You put it on Woody's head. Looks the same from 92 to fucking 2017, you know?
Sure.
Just put a divot, just put a chunk of grass on Woody Harrelson's head. Yeah. Good to go.
Oh, yeah.
You put one more divot on there, boom. You take a mulligan, re-hit, re-divot that motherfucker. He's back in Cheers. Two divots on top of his head. He's back.
That's not a
as
joke,
the bartender.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. I don't know what is going on. There's a million, I can tell you firsthand, there is a million scripts in Hollywood and a million original stories that aren't being told, and they're just remaking shit just to do it at this point. And I can't for the life of me figure out why. Like that movie was perfect to me. Yeah. Both people are still great.
Yep.
Wesley Snipes, still great, still looks the same. Black don't crack. Woody Harrelson, again, replace the divot. Good to go. He's Woody Harrelson from that movie. Nothing has really changed.
Yeah, people are still watching that movie.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's like, oh, that old, like, Magnificent Seven or whatever. Like, oh, it was like in black and white or whatever.
Right.
Rebooting that kind of stuff. Okay, but this is still, White Man Can't Jump is still something you would show to your son or something. Like, I don't know.
This is tough. Because, like, if you're Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes sitting at home, probably like, why not just make a fucking sequel?
Yeah, there you go.
We can get back and make a fucking sequel.
Yeah.
You don't need to recast that. Yeah. Like, we're good to go. Throw Rosie Perez back on Jeopardy. Good to go.
Her, too. Yeah. She looks great.
She looks great.
Man.
Yeah, still has enormous tits. Still the same. You know?
Okay.
Still the same.
Okay. Got to throw that in there.
Well, you know.
Hey, you know, it's a big deal.
That and, you know, that Spider-Man, I just saw a preview. So in the last 3 days, going back, just to let you know what I've been seeking out on the internet, new Spider-Man. Not Tobey Maguire, not Andrew Garfield. Is it a different story, you ask? No, it's not. Going back to high school again. Same fucking story as the other two. They're just remaking that and gonna re-push that shit out to the world. Who's the chick from The Wrestler? Hot.
Marissa Tomei.
Yes, she is playing Aunt May. If that's
oh,
old Aunt May. Oh. So they're spicing it up. They're going to make it sexier, I guess.
Dude, fuck.
So, yeah, she's playing that. And then the day before that, I saw a movie that was a TV show that they're remaking called Chips.
I saw that.
Yeah. Dax Shepard. God damn it. You want to talk about failing upwards and just surviving on as little talent as possible? Dax Shepard. It's holy fuck.
Do you have a nemesis like in life?
I did when I was auditioning. Not a nemesis, but I would see the same people a lot. Yeah. Dax Shepard was one of them. Ryan Reynolds.
Like whenever he comes on screen or his name comes up, like
yeah,
you have nemesis. It's kind of like a nemesis. Not, I feel
not a nemesis. It's just kind of a dick, and it's just like I don't get it. I don't get his whole shit.
Right.
I don't understand the Dax Shepardness. Of all of it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was on Punk'd. So I saw, like, look, he got his start on Punk'd. Punk'd was huge first season.
Yeah.
With Ashton Kutcher, he was on there. He was mm-hmm. the guy. Got some opportunities from that. And then you were kind of thinking, he'll just die out.
Right, because he's not good.
No.
So
90 lives that guy has. Because another friend of mine was on Punk'd. He was fucking awesome, too. And I believe my buddy was in the second season, Chris Tarantino.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And what up, Chris, if you're listening to this shit.
What up, Chris?
He didn't get arrested after that. But Dax Shepard has worked for King's Ransoms for a long time.
Yeah, he's in the best shit always, too.
Like, I don't. You were a big fan of Parenthood.
I was a big fan of Parenthood. Yeah.
And granted, whatever you thought of that show, and a lot of people liked it, critically acclaimed, won a bunch of awards. Whatever you thought of it. It was what, six seasons on the air? Six or seven seasons? That's a lot of fucking quiche. A lot of quiche.
Yeah.
For Dax Shepard. And then, you know, he married up with Kristen Bell and then mm-hmm. they did the whole thing and they're doing those fucking commercials. Yeah.
The Samsung train or whatever it
is. And you might say to yourself, Ross, that's, you know, let that little 80s TV show go. I would. But the problem is, you know what's coming out right after Chips this summer?
What?
Baywatch. Saw that trailer. Zac Efron and The Rock.
One of the worst trailers I've
ever seen. Ever seen.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. What we were saying, Zac looks. God, he.
Well, when you do that many cycles in a row, it ages your face real fast.
That bone structure
is changing.
It has changed.
It's changing.
Has changed.
So I think, to explain it to the audience, what I think is happening, and this is, I would say a pretty, I would feel 85% confident in saying this.
Okay.
What is happening is China is buying up all of Hollywood. They bought up two movie studios, so they now own all the slates. You know, you see this movie that's coming out with Matt Damon, where he's the white man saving the Great Wall of China. It's called The Great Wall.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of shit like that. So you're going to see a lot of stuff like that happen. The other thing you're going to see happen is you're going to see a lot of these old titles rehashed because overseas, people know what they are. And right now, 75% of the box office is made from foreign sales. So they don't really give a shit about Americans anymore. They just don't. Like an American box office these days, it's 25% of what the studios profit off of. They're not making movies for Americans anymore. They're not.
Yeah.
So you're going to see more and more shit like this where it's like, oh, that title sounds familiar. Because that's what it is.
Right.
China is leading the U.S. in box office right now, and it's only growing.
So it's like when you see somebody that is like, why are they so famous? It's like, they sell overseas. Like, we may not like them that much here in America or...
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're becoming these big stars and you're like, how the fuck does that happen? That's how that happens.
That's how that happens. And, you know, guys like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt and those guys, the last true movie stars we have left, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see those guys consistently still working, doing big budget movies because they're still super famous around the world. Whereas, you know, people our age really aren't, and they don't, you know, like, I love Jake Gyllenhaal. He's a fucking awesome actor.
Yeah.
I like his movies. But he's still not that Brad Pitt level Mm-mm. of selling shit out in China. Like, he's not putting Asian asses in the seats over there. So yeah. you got a problem. And the other problem you're faced with is when American audiences stop going to the theaters, I don't know what's going to happen to the theaters. Right now, they're pitching at the studios a smaller window between theater and home. And it used to be, so when I, you know, back in the day when I first started, it used to be 3 months. Movie comes out in the theaters. 3 months, then it's on DVD.
And they're in. It used to be in theaters longer, or no?
Yes.
Okay.
It used to be in theaters
now
longer.
It feels like 1 week and you're
gone.
They're gone.
Well, and that's the nature of the beast now. If you don't have a monster opening weekend, they're trying to get you the fuck out of there.
Yeah, so they you're can, like they survival save their cost. Of the fucking fittest.
Yeah. So it used to be 90 days from theater to DVD. That shrunk to 60. Then that shrunk from, now some movies are in
day
theaters and,
day.
And on demands. Yeah, day and day. The new one is, what they're testing is they want to do all big releases at $50 at home. So you can either go to the movies and see them, or you can just buy it at your house for $50. Kind of like
$50.
$50. Because if you rack up the cost of going to a movie, let's say you love Spider-Man, or you have a horrible case of amnesia or when a car accident, right? And you forgot.
Yeah, there's Spider-Man.
Yeah, you forgot that there was six of those already made in the last 12 years.
Yeah.
Let's say you just forgot. Like, you know, it's like, I blanked out. Or you were in a coma, you know, for 15 years, and you just woke up now, and you're like, holy shit, they're finally making a Spider-Man. Yeah. I want to go see a fucking Spider-Man.
All valid things.
Yeah.
All valid reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, let's say that's happening to you, and you took your family, or you took a date. Let's say you took a loved one. For those of you out there who know a loved one, who have a loved one, let's just say it's the two of you. You're looking at $15 a pop for the tickets a piece. Mm-hmm. I put you up at 30. That Coke. Yeah, that medium Coke
Zero. Let's go large.
Yeah,
come on.
You want to go large for 54? You want to go fucking large for 54? And then you're like, yeah. Fuck it. All right, cool. $8.
Right.
Oh, you're like, oh shit. What was it before? $7.50.
Yeah.
Then you get a popcorn. You want a popcorn? Yeah. I'll get the popcorn.
Let's share a large.
You want to share a? You want to split a?
Let's like each get our own medium.
Yeah, let's get our. You know, for for 75 cents more, you can get some fucking candy with that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's get some fucking Jujubes or some goobers. Yeah, let's throw some goobers on each other. Let's fucking do. Let's put Twizzlers inside the fucking buttered bag of popcorn. That would be awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Awesome.
Sounds
$34, sir. Okay. So it's $64. Let's say you had a kid or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. You got a kid at home, babysitter.
Yeah.
Babysitter.
Fuck. Well, that's
ring them up.
We don't go.
Yeah, 30, 40 bucks. You know,
dang.
So a night out of the movies, you're looking at, you're looking at 80, 90 bucks, maybe a hundo, depending upon if you want to go to dinner with your significant other beforehand. Weed, you know, you factor that in the equation, like what you're doing to party.
Sure,
plus pills. They're selling liquor at all the movies now.
Oh, yes. For so
beer
much
and wine,
money.
I know, and it's
you go back
because you get two, and you feel like you're wasting one if you don't go back, and those aren't cheap; those are $8-$9 a pop.
Yeah.
So you know you're racking up a pretty fucking hefty bill. Whereas you're at home, you got kids for $50. Let's say you got a family. Let's say you got two kids. You're married, two kids. You want to watch. Fucking the Jumanji remake that's coming out this year. Another one, another remake.
Yeah.
Maybe Robin Williams hung himself over that, to be honest with you.
I heard that's what it was, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it was. It was the...
not joking, though.
No, he didn't want to do Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hello!
Well, one of... It was definitely a remake that killed him.
Yes,
but anyway.
It was. But if he would have seen the cast of Jumanji with The Rock replacing him... Yeah, he probably would have.
It would have been double murder.
Yeah, 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 he would have gone back.
Yeah.
But let's say you got some kids. So it's the two of you guys, two kids at home. You know, the kids are eating, snacking, the whole shit. Like, that's going to run you up as well.
Yeah.
So would you pay the $50 for a family of four to sit there, have your wife make you a nice meal, buy some popcorn, buy some candy.
Barefoot, pregnant.
Yeah. But in all honesty, you can buy, you know, microwavable popcorn for the kids for $3.99. You can go fucking hog nuts and get, you know, goblets full of candy for everyone for $4 at the grocery store. Soda. You can get a, you know, 9 2-liters for 80 cents.
Everybody gets a liter. I guess my thing is, what would it take, like, to press the button? Like, what would it take for you? Like, what kind of movie or what would it have to be for you to press the button on $50 sitting at home? Like, that would just be a complete mind shift. Like, I wouldn't even be able to, like,
mentally enjoy the film.
Just press that $50. Like, I know the popcorn going out and all that stuff adds up, but it's not just like a button that you press that says $64. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that movie. I really don't.
Because
the other part about it is knowing what I know. I know that movie is going to come on demand now in 60 days instead of 90. It'll be there in 2 months. It's like, all right, fuck it. You know, I'll pay the $5.99 and watch it, you know, HD at my leisure.
So in that respect, is it just reboots that are keeping the theaters open because people are going to go and spend that money?
Yes. I think more and more it's heading towards like a big ticket event where all of these movies, if they're not big ticket events where you want to go see the spectacle in 3D or IMAX or whatever it is. I don't know where the rest of these movies exist. I mean, the Oscar movies this year, 4 people saw them. And out of those 4, 3 of them killed themselves. They were that depressing. And they made about $48 combined in the box office. They were there for about a week. And it's strange. It's strange because those movies are going to become obsolete. If you're a studio head making a drama right now, like a hardcore drama, where is that money coming back from? Who's going to watch that? Because then you go to Netflix and you see all these movies that you heard about or maybe heard about. You're just waiting for it to go to Netflix or HBO. Yeah. Nobody can be profitable. People are going to stop financing them. And just to break it down, what you're in for this year, kids, as far as like movies go. And we'll go through, you know, we'll go through the highlights of the year. Because I got a list in front of me from the studios of what we got coming out. March. We got Kong, Skull Island. Yeah, it's another King Kong movie. Boy, if you didn't see the last 600 of those, I can't help you. I can't. If you go and watch that trailer, watch the trailer, by the way. I'm definitely not going to see this in movie theaters.
Right.
They did a good job with it. It's a good trailer.
Uh-huh.
But here's what I was stunned by. Here's why it's good. There's like 3 Oscar winners in that movie. 3 Oscar winners in Kong, Skull Island. That's Brie amazing. Larson, who won the Oscar last year for Best Actress, she's in the movie. That guy who was Tom Hiddleston, just won the fucking Golden Globe. He's in that movie. I mean, it's crazy. And there's a fucking animatronic King Kong in there.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah. So, you know, that's March. Then you got that Chips movie I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you got The Fate of the Furious, which is, I believe, Fast and Furious 8 or 9. After Paul Walker died, it's been too hard for me. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't keep track anymore.
You haven't even been able to utter the words.
No, but I know this much because I scrolled through that trailer as well. In that one, you've got The Rock, obviously Vin Diesel.
Oh, God.
I'm not going anywhere.
70-year-old Vin Diesel.
70-year-old Vin Diesel. The Rock. Charlize Theron.
Oh, that's right.
Oscar Academy Award winner Charlize Theron is in that. Kurt Russell is in that. You're welcome.
Oh, my God. That makes me so sad that Kurt Russell has to do that. Weep. There's no way that he...
He's the best, and he's in that Charlize Theron.
To do it.
He's the best. They're, you know. The two of them are so great. I mean, God, and Kurt Russell's still doing cool original shit if given the chance. Bone Tomahawk, I've talked about it on the other show. Huge fan of that movie.
Yeah.
People loved it, and he was great. An original story with an original character. It's fucking awesome. No need for this.
He's one of those that probably does the big budget to do the other one. To like fund the ranch,
yeah.
You know, my dream is to party at his ranch.
I know.
Before
party
I
at
die.
His house. Yeah.
Specifically the
my
ranch.
My neighbor,
though.
When I first moved to LA, Aaron, she ended up marrying Oliver
really?
Hudson. Yep.
He seems cool.
She was cool. So
yeah,
it was like, oh man. And then a friend of mine, Maggie, who worked on 710 Split, is best friends with that family. She said it's exactly what you hope for. Ugh, that they're just the best, God. The coolest, the whole shit. And you're
if I was rich, I feel like I would be like that.
I know. Because you do look at people on TV and you're like, man, I bet you I'd be friends with them in real life.
Yeah.
I bet you I'd be friends with them.
We'd be cool.
Next up, coming up in May, we got Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Meh.
King Arthur, The Legend of the Sword. Thank God there's another King Arthur movie.
Oh,
the week after that, you got The Alien Covenant, another alien movie. Week after that, to end up May, you got Pirates of the Caribbean again and Baywatch. That is your May, kids. Every single weekend. What do we got coming up in June, you might ask, Ross? I'm going to tell you. We got The Mummy remake.
The Mummy.
With
no.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has replaced Brendan Fraser, and you can.
Who's fat now?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Nobody's ever seen Brendan Fraser. He disappeared.
He's on The Affair.
Is he really?
He is, and he's scary as shit, and he's a bigger
scary
dude.
Scary because he's a bad guy? Like, he's playing
a bad
character?
He's a for sure a creepy villain guy.
Okay.
And bigger. A bigger dude. To the point where you're just like, I guess either you couldn't get it off, or they were just over you, or whatever.
I don't know.
He's really, he's good in this.
I don't know. Here's the mystery behind Brendan Fraser, by the way. For a 10-year stretch, dollar for dollar, box office to budget, he was the most successful male actor in Hollywood. And for whatever reason.
I believe that. He was doing some like weird stuff.
Dude,
like,
he did all those mummies. They crushed.
Did all the mummies.
He did Crash. Remember Crash?
Yes.
Won the Oscar?
Yes.
He did that. And like the guy couldn't miss. For some reason, Hollywood didn't like him. Outside audiences were kind of making fun of him. But everybody would see his shit. So it was like, I don't know. His disappearance doesn't make any sense to me. Me just cash in on that cow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy was fucking doing everything for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Brendan, you can let Brendan Fraser eat. Let the big boy eat. Maybe he got depressed and started eating. Who knows?
I don't know.
After that, so we'll scroll through the summer here. After The Mummy, you get Cars 3. Great for the kids, but there's already been two of those. Weekend after that, Transformers. I don't know what number that is. 6? It's called Transformers The Last Night. Well, I think it's 5 or 6 we're on for Transformers.
Yes.
Weekend after that, Despicable Me 3. Great. A lot of part 3s this year. Yeah. Weekend after that, Spider-Man. Yeah. The new one for the third time. The weekend after that, War for the Planet of the Apes. Another remake.
Also, Bad Dads.
Bad Dads. You know what that is? That is a...
I know what it is, but...
Sequel to Bad Moms.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either. August is a dead month for movies. You know, they're putting a movie called The Emoji Movie. So if that kind of hunkers you down, what you can prepare for August. August is always a dead month studio wise. Not a lot of people know that. They got that Annabelle 2 coming out. The Nut Job 2. Nutty by Nature. Big fan of that title, actually.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah, Nutty by Nature. That got me.
Yeah.
That got me.
That's a good one.
Then look, you're rolling into September. You got a remake of Flatliners. Is that real? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It, Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Remake. October.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Friday the 13th again. The sequel to The Kingsman is out.
That'd be cool if it was called Friday the 13th again.
I know. Yet again.
Yet again.
And then you got Insidious Chapter 4. So the fourth Insidious is out. Love you, Lin Shaye. Glad, glad she's still
friend
killing
of the show.
It.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Done a lot of movies with her. She's the lead in that. And I'm happy for her paychecks, but four of those is a lot. Cloverfield 2017.
No, thank you.
So that is part three of the Cloverfield franchise. Saw Legacy. I don't know how many Saws there are. I've lost count. I would say five. Heading into November first week, Creed 2. Sequel to Creed last year. I enjoyed Creed. Was unaware they were making a sequel this quickly.
Did it open?
Then
it
the sequel
open?
To Bad Moms called A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Yeah, well.
So you got that. Justice League, which I believe Justice League is with Batman, you know, Ben Affleck and the rest of those fuckers. Yet another superhero movie. That's going to be super dark. And then December to end it off, you got another Star Wars. This is part eight. Episode 8, Jumanji is the weekend after that. Pitch Perfect 3. A lot of threes.
Yeah.
A lot of threes.
Yeah.
And then some other shit's going to be TBA, Super Troopers 2, which, look, they did a campaign before my last movie, Range 15 before that. Still, that fucking movie still isn't. I think they just finished shooting. And then you have the remake of The Labyrinth sometime this year.
No.
Yeah.
No. Where is that?
Yeah. They don't have a date for it yet. They're just saying 2017 right now.
The Labyrinth?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes me really mad.
I know.
Why?
Oh, that one got you.
That one makes me really
that
mad.
That one really got you. You can't see it at home. You were genuinely fucking angry about this. Let it all out. Let it all out.
How would that even... That's really, that's horrible.
Yeah, no. Because
it's all going to be CGI and not like, it was a Muppets movie.
Yeah,
essentially.
With Bowie. And that's all gone now. That's all gone. So that is your, I just read you the entire, essentially 2017 slate. Is there a lot of other movies coming out? There is. But these are the headliners for the weekend. So those other movies are going to get buried. So the other movies that are coming out will be out for 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's, you know, you hope for like a sleeper movie in there, but I don't know how you go up against this and try to get a sleeper movie going. Sleeper movie is a little known movie that's, you know, a lot of people didn't think would do well and ends up blowing up. Last year it was Deadpool. There's one every year, but even Deadpool is a superhero movie where it's just like, all right, cool. When was the last time there was a drum? I guess that Astronauts movie. The Hidden Figures movie that has been a surprise hit.
Yeah. Number one, like 3 weeks in a row, weeks in a row or something.
That's been a surprise hit.
Very much.
I think a couple summers ago, you're looking at Pitch Perfect, but there's not a lot when there used to be a lot. There used to be a lot of surprises because you were making, you know, original films that you didn't expect it.
And you take a gamble.
None of these are going to be a surprise. You know exactly what the fuck you're getting.
Yeah.
So if they do well, great. Who cares? None of these are, I'm not excited to see any of these this year.
No. Well, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, come on.
There's going to be a lot of people out there that feel the same way.
There's not going to be a lot of people out there.
Any girls that listen to this show. Come on, girls.
No.
Listen up.
I feel like there's been like 30 Beauty and the Beast. There was like a fucking TV show about it.
No.
Yeah, what was the TV show about?
Oh, in the 80s?
No. A show recently. TV show recently.
No. You're wrong.
All right.
You're wrong, but I heard they did, like I said, shot for shot from the animated movie that we all know and love.
Right. And it's live action, right?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Live action, whatever, yeah.
Look, a remake's gonna get you eventually, and I get all that. I hear that.
You're literally, you've never been excited about a remake? Ever?
No, I have not, actually. The only thing I will say that I got all jammed up on was Mad Max. I think it was last year.
Dang, yeah.
Everybody told me, well, here's the thing. It took 100 people to tell me to go see Mad Max. And, and even then, you know, I watched it on HBO. I didn't go into the theaters and watch
that's
it.
True.
The last original movie that I loved, where I was just like, oh my God, this is great. Probably Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, Wolf of Wall Street, to me, you can just put it on any point in the movie and I'll fucking watch the rest of it.
You know, this past award season, I really liked La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was surprised.
I did too. It's a musical,
like,
by the way.
It got me in this really weird way. Like, yeah. it affected me.
But here's the thing. I think I liked it and it affected me too, but I think for a different reason. Okay. It affected me because it reminded me of early 2000s when people were making original movies.
That's exactly
trying to
why
be the best,
it got to me.
Trying to go for, mm-hmm. hey man, I can do something original and awesome and amazing, mm-hmm. and people will go pay money to see this. And that's what I think the biggest part got to me.
It felt like Swingers a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, like, back in the day where it was just like, hey, we're just all trying, you know, and now it's like, you can't even really do that. Like,
no.
the age of, like, us living with roommates and, like, just trying to, like, make it happen seems dead. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it seems like it's gone.
I think it is totally different. I think TV is king right now.
Yeah.
A lot of great TV. So I think people are hoping to get that break or that gig on that TV show now, whereas, you know, back in the day, you moved to L.A. because you wanted to be a movie star.
Yeah.
Now, look, the system is broken. The movies are broken. There's not any original shit. So it's not like you dreamed as a kid to come to L.A. and be in, you know, Planet of the Apes 9.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God, I get to be in Planet. That's not your dream. Like, it's your dream if you want to be famous,
right,
but not if you want to be a great actor or make a difference or make something original.
Or like a callback for CSI is like, yes, because it's steady work and it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So these days, I think the dream is different now for actors, directors and producers and writers, to be honest with you. I think the dream now is if you get a TV show that you created and you can tell stories in that format without having to, you know, bow down to fucking China or whoever controls your studio now, because it's to me, this is fucking garbage, man.
I do feel like TV's the new is going to start
TV.
To
and
the
then, new. Then I'll tell you where else it's moved to is online, obviously.
Yeah.
Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, fucking Snapchat, all that shit. What I see a lot online is a lot of, you know, Viners or, you know, what used to be Vine, Snapchats, people and fucking Instagram people getting together and creating content together, tagging each other in that, making shit. Granted, it's short form content, and I don't think any of them would last in a full length feature movie.
No.
At all. But I that's the new form of entertainment. And, you know, having a child who loves YouTube at age 2, like,
it's hardcore.
It's the new shit, and I think we have to get used to it. But I will still, to this day, and probably always be nostalgic towards films.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I grew up, I can't remember a move like a weekend as a kid where I didn't go to the movies with my parents. It was our Saturday thing, Sunday thing. I looked forward to it. Couldn't wait to see the movies every weekend because they were original.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what I was walking into.
Yeah.
And it was that feeling of like, oh shit, today I'm going to go see something for 2 hours that I don't know what it is. No. I don't know if it's going to be good.
Actually, it's the other age of like hearing so much about a film before you see it. You can't, it's almost impossible to walk into a film blind anymore.
Right.
Remember the days where you could be like, I don't know, I saw a preview, but we'll see. But now it's like, we've heard before we go into a movie a million times
if it's good,
somebody liked it, if this person, blah, 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 blah. So that, you know, that's gone too.
Yeah. And it makes me sad. And it's not an age gap, because people have asked me that, of like, hey, do you think it's an age gap or a generational thing or the millennial thing? No, I don't. I think an original film like La La Land,
mm-hmm.
Well, that will translate forever. Like,
it's so good.
So whether you know, put that out now or whatever, like it was successful, it did well, and it was original.
Mm-hmm.
You could keep doing that. The problem is studios won't take that risk. Because if you're putting out all original movies, oh my gosh, what happens if they don't do well? We're all going to lose our jobs. China's going to take over.
Because if they didn't win awards, did it do, you know, does it do as well? No.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
no. But you know, would you push back your release date and put it out in the summer and try for it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I remember when it started deadening to the studios. Where I was at a huge dinner one time after Cinderella Man came out. You remember that movie with Russell Crowe? It's a great fucking movie.
So good.
Boxing movie, Ron Howard direct. So fucking good. And it bombed. I put it in the summer, in the middle of summer, it bombed, didn't do well. And it was a great film. And it was at this huge fancy dinner, and everybody's trying to talk about it. And they were like, what went wrong? What went wrong? Nobody had a reason for why it didn't do well. The marketing was great. The trailer was great.
Yeah.
You had the right actors for it. Nobody had one single reason why this great film that could have been up for Best Picture bombed. It didn't do well. And that scared the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Because usually there's a reason. Things come out and you're like, oh, fuck. Things went way over budget, or
you could just tell kind of like what went wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Scorsese's new movie, Silence. It's a religious movie.
Okay, yeah.
It was his dream project, his passion project for years and years and years. You know, it finally gets made, comes out, and it's fucking... The studio files for bankruptcy the day before. Like, the budget was way over. They didn't make that much money opening weekend. The awards, it got blanked on the Golden Globes and all that shit. And it's just like, well... Here's a Scorsese movie coming out in January with Andrew Garfield about religion. And it looks amazing. I still haven't seen it because I wouldn't go. I didn't
Andrew
go see it in the movie
Garfield's
theaters.
In it? I'm not
I know.
See it.
I know. I'm not into him either.
Like him.
But it's just a shame all the way around at what's happened to films in general. But, you know, for TV lovers, shit.
Yeah.
This is the golden age.
It really is. And there's some great fucking content out there. Like,
oh, great. Because everybody said
amazing shit.
Everybody said, you know, the late 90s was the last golden age of television. dead serious. And I'll tell you why. You had Friends.
Mm-hmm.
You had Seinfeld.
Yeah.
SNL was at its height. You know, with Sandler, Farley, and those guys, like in the 90s.
My So-Called Life.
Yeah. You love My So-Called Life. But
a lot of people love that.
But sitcoms and all that stuff, we're riding high. You know, you could do a lot of shit. But to me, I look back and say, all right, there was a handful of shows that I liked. I didn't really like the rest of the shit that was on.
No.
You know, I enjoyed ER like the rest of us. But, you know, season 11, I checked out. I think it went on for fucking 8 more seasons after that.
I think now is like, I mean, these are like
I think
movies.
These are the, yeah. I think now. Is the television golden age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And this has been going on for a few years. And it started with Breaking Bad. And I think Breaking Bad changed that mold. And then the theaters, the studio system on its own, collapsed like a fucking dying star. And they're putting out all this shit. So people are like, dude, I don't want to go to theaters and pay for that.
And all the Oscar winners and amazing actors are jumping off that ship.
Going to television.
Going to television, which is just... amazing. And creators are
Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro, the two to recently jump to television.
That's we're done.
They're giving De Niro $9.50 an episode, and Streep Dog is getting $8.50 an episode.
Streep Dog
named Desire. Meryl Streep, I hate the president. MMA
down.
And the NFL.
Calm down.
When she said the NFL, all you're going to be left with is the NFL and MMA. Those aren't arts.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, that's what she said. It was like, really? Why don't you check the ratings on that fucking Packers Cowboys game? Highest rated fucking show of all time. Like, crazy.
She's old school. She's an actress.
Fuck her.
We don't say fuck her on this show. Meryl Streep?
I do. I do say fuck her to Meryl Streep.
All right.
I'm done with Meryl Streep.
Fair enough.
She's gone on my list. That's it. There's no coming back. She shared it to me. You know, if you know what I mean. She's the new Cher now, where it's just like,
okay.
I'm gonna be outspoken and say what I want and just fucking do what I want. No, you're not. I don't want to hear your fucking opinion. Like, You know, and that I don't know how tall that soapbox was that she was on at the Golden Globes, but Jesus Christ, that 15-minute speech.
With Viola, like, introducing her, too, in this way that we were talking about last episode, which is just, like, they make it seem like what they do is so important.
Yep.
And the way that she was introducing Dame Streep, and it's just like, you know, yeah, she was an inspirational actress.
Right. But you're still an actor.
You're still an actress.
You're not fighting in a fucking war.
No. You're not like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you, Dame Streep.
Yeah. Because I'll be honest with you. Going back in my mind, there isn't too many movies. You could have replaced her with somebody else and I would have been fine with it.
It's true. She was in a golden age.
It's not like she's Tom Cruise. You know what I'm saying?
Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise.
So when I go see a movie, if I go see a Tom Cruise, it's because of Tom Cruise.
It's because of Tom Cruise.
I don't go see a movie because of Meryl Streep. I'll go because it seems like it's a good film. But I'm not like, oh, I got to go see that Streep movie, dog. Got to go see that Streep movie. That doesn't do it for me. Margot Robbie does. Like the new Margot Robbie movie. You know what I'm saying? Like when that Tonya Harding biopic drops. Boom. A lot of people talking about that because some pics have leaked from the set. Mm-hmm. She's gained weight for the role.
No, she hasn't.
Yes, and beefed up.
No, she's wearing a suit.
Yeah, well, whatever she's wearing. Here's the big question on the internet. Because a lot of dudes have posted this. I'd still fuck the fat Margot Robbie is what they... And they're showing this ginormous picture of her. It's pretty fucking funny.
That is funny.
But that's an original movie I like to see at least. Like,
yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, that Tonya Harding, but fuck yeah, that'll be great. Man, like there's a ton of great stories out there. Alex Skarlatos' movie, that's a great example of a great story that would make a great film. As a producer, I could...
Oh, yeah, you could drag out
easily,
that action
easily.
On that train. Yeah.
And by the way, for the audience, I'm talking about the heroes from the Paris train attack. I believe it was the 1517 of Paris was the name of their book.
The book, yeah.
That's, to me, great movie. Like, that could be a great, fun, fucking America movie, and nothing has budged on that property yet. Nothing at all.
On their book?
No. And they have the rights. CAA was shopping it, and nothing. It makes no sense. But again, Spider-Man. Yeah. Bringing back Spider-Man for the ninth time. I don't understand it. And I can't, I know I said it earlier, but I can't stress this enough. There is literally a million amazing scripts out there. Comedies, dramas, four films that are just sitting on shelves. Studios have bought them. Some of them haven't. There's a thing called a blacklist that picks out all the best underground scripts of the year. And they're all original. None of them are fucking remakes. So there is thousands and thousands of great original scripts. They're just not making them. So I apologize, but there is nothing that can be did. It's going to take a big celebrity to roll through and cut his paycheck back to get something original made. The last one I really remember doing, it was Bradley Cooper on American Sniper. As soon as the Hangover movies blew up and Chris Kyle got killed, he marched into the studio 30 days later and was like, hey,
that's a real like actory actor.
I'm fucking
too.
Doing this movie. Mm-hmm. Let me know what the budget is, what we can work with, and I want to get this made. I want to get this in production ASAP. And he got it done.
I feel like Brad Pitt and Plan A?
B.
Plan B?
Yep. Productions.
Champion a lot of
They do,
stuff.
But getting it financed is super hard.
I understand.
Super hard.
I feel like Matthew McConaughey champions a lot of stuff. I don't know if he does anymore, but yeah. So
Franco does too. James Franco does a lot of that shit.
So but there's but it's still really, really hard for them.
I know. And I look, I miss comedies. I miss, those are the movies I miss the most. Yeah. I used to love just sitting in a theater and laughing and just forgetting about life, just laughing. Laughing for an hour and a half and not worrying about shit. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's fucking gone and it's sad.
Beesh.
So instead, we got podcasts and we got TV. It's the golden age of podcasts.
That's actually very true.
It is.
We're on the ground floor.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people say I've got a golden voice. Lungs made of honey. I'm happy to share them with you.
Who told
week
you that?
After week. A lot of people.
Oh, I didn't get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't CC'd on the.
On the. Yeah, no, a lot of people have been saying that to me.
Okay. No, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, I walk up and down the streets and
I just didn't see it.
Do you need any tea for your golden voice? I'm like, haha, man, I'm good, dog.
Yeah, do they?
Dog, I'm
that's
good.
That's great.
Dog.
That is great.
you are a real son of a bitch. And with that, let's get to the revolutionary person of the week. This week it's a man. Boy, this is near and dear to my heart. I'm gonna read this whole fucking story. This is how emotional I am about this story. In 1960, Tom Monahan and his brother James purchased Dominick's. It was a small pizza store in Michigan. The deal was secured for $500 down payment, and the brothers borrowed $900 to pay for the store. The brothers plan to splits the work hours evenly, but James didn't want to quit his job as a full-time postman to keep up with the demands of the new business. Within 8 months, James traded his half of the business to Tom for the Volkswagen Beetle they used for pizza deliveries. In 1965, Tom Monahan had purchased two additional pizzerias. He now had a total of three locations in the same county. Monahan wanted the stores to share the same branding, but the original owner forbade him from using the Dominick's name. One day, an employee returned from a pizza delivery and suggested the name Domino's. And Monahan immediately loved the idea and officially renamed the business Domino's Pizza. Oh, the only loser in this story is James. Sorry, James. I hope he either loves being a postman or hated that Volkswagen Beetle. Like if his wife or fiance or something died in that Volkswagen Beetle, and he's just like,
Yeah. The three dots actually stood for the first three stores that they had.
Wow, look at that.
I know. I mean, I love Domino's.
You learn something new every day. Why is Domino's near and dear to my heart? The struggle years. Struggle years. We've all had them.
Sure.
Domino's got me through a lot of hard times.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting three in LA. I was getting three mediums for $7 a piece for $21, and
yep.
I was saving them and freezing them. Like I would save them in the fridge, heat them up, save them up for
oh my God.
I mean, it would be weeks on end.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, big fan of Domino's. When they went to that Philly cheesesteak pizza, you can go ahead.
Oh
and
my God,
fuck my bottom. Yep,
love.
And the garlic crust they put on there.
Oh
look,
yeah,
they're always improving.
Ugh,
big fan
always
of Domino's.
Revolutionizing.
I know. Always revolution. I wish they were a sponsor on the show.
Open invitation.
Open invitation. Also, kids, you would see me grow to a size that would be just Brendan Fraser like, to be honest with you. Deuce and a half. I'd be at a deuce and a half easy. Probably a deuce 75 within 2 years. I could eat it every day. I really could. If you mixed up the toppings and the crust, I could eat Domino's every day. Because I would go thin to pan.
Back and forth.
Yeah. To pan to pan to pan to pan to pan.
I like the Ridge. I'm in a Ridge.
All of it.
A Ridge crust.
All of it.
Yeah.
Big fan. Mm-hmm. Big fan. But I will say this, though. I love Little Caesars.
Sure.
Love Pizza Hut.
Sure.
The only one I don't like is Papa John's.
Ugh.
And I fucking hate Papa John. Ugh. I hate the Papa.
That's a whole nother show.
I know. An entirely
Let's
different
do
show.
A whole
people
show.
Know, people know my hatred for the Papa.
Yeah. Let's do a whole show of the hatred.
We should for with Papa with Papa John and just call him relentlessly and fucking haze him. If anybody has Papa John's number, send it in.
Oh my God. Please.
Send it
Any
in
contact.
To the show. We'll call him on the show and I'll tell him to literally try to stuff his little penis up his own asshole.
Please. We'll just keep asking
hate
for
the Papa.
Coke.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know he offers Coke to fucking 17-year-old girls.
Yes.
Like, you know, he's probably got like daughters and the daughter's friends come over. They have a sleepover. The daughter falls asleep and he's like, hey, Sarah, I heard you're still up. Your hand was rustling around on those Doritos down in the kitchen.
God.
Let me ask you one thing. Do you do Coke? Are you cool?
Are you cool?
Will you not say anything? Awesome. Here's some Coke. Throw me a beach. I'm the Papa. And then here's a gift card. Like he stuffs a gift, yeah. Like he gives her a gift card. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. And he's like, nope, 17 is legal in this state. And you're like, oh, you fucking dirty motherfucker. You knew the rules. You knew
this
the rules.
Is making me uncomfortable.
I know. And that's the papa.
And that's the papa.
That's the papa. That's the papa. Wow, this flew by tonight.
It did.
It did. We had a fun time, even though I probably shattered everybody's dreams for what's coming out next year as far as movie wise.
Again, we're huge champions sorry about that. Of the TV.
Yeah.
This
2017 is the year of the TV.
Amazing shit.
Yeah. And to the revolutionary person of the week, Tom Monahan, for fucking dropping the Dinos up in this place, the Dominos. Big fan. I'm a slow
good
clap
job.
You.
Good job.
I'm going to slow clap you. Kids, I appreciate you tuning in. We love you so much. For Mrs. Jesse Wiseman, the Jablers, I am Ross Patterson. This is the revolution, and it will be televised. Eventually.
Soon.
Eventually. Real soon. Real soon. Good night, everyone. I love you.